Hey, let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for your Son who carried our sins away on the cross. We thank you that today we can celebrate that and all that means for us. We thank you for the freedom that is in you. And Father, today as we speak and open the scriptures, I pray that you would speak through me. I pray my words wouldn't fall to the floor. I pray that you would soften hearts and the Spirit would speak and you would give us ears to hear what you're saying. I pray not one person would leave today unchanged, including myself. I pray you would help me speak clearly and in a way that makes sense. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the presence that is tangible, that we can feel. And we ask that you would stir our affections for you, and that today would have a shelf life of more than about 24 hours. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, my name's Mark. I was on the video. It's kind of embarrassing seeing yourself on a video. I think you did a good job. I think it's hard to make me look good. I'm not saying I look good, but I think you had a tall order. And then also, it's a little intimidating. I sent Brandon a text a few weeks ago, and all I said was, I'm glad you don't stink. He is awesome. I don't know, and I'm not saying this, I don't care if he was here or not. I don't know if you guys realize, you are getting gold on Sunday. From someone who's had to study and preach, I see the subtleties of the depth of his sermons. They are gold. I cannot say that enough. So you listen, you podcast that thing, you listen to it like three times. You're going to catch more stuff each time because they are a mile deep, and I'm thankful they're a mile deep. And I'm thankful that the church that we've become a part of, that the pastor doesn't stink. Not going to lie. It's nice that on Sundays, he comes and he brings it. And so it's a little intimidating today for me because I have to follow that up. Hey, if you're in college, if you're like Teen Mania or YWAM, if you're between the ages of like 18 and 23, I mean, all right, wow, awesome. You got, yeah, some of you are lying. You guys are my, I went to a Bible school, and so especially for you that are like Teen Mania, crazy young people, I went to Bible school, and I understand you. And so if I have any advice for you, if you're under the age of 24, here, and I guess this is good advice for anyone, but especially if you're single and you're young and in college, you love Jesus with all of your heart, with everything you've got in you. Jesus saved me when I was 18. And man, I got drunk on Friday and got saved on Monday, and he saved me. And those years in college, I loved Jesus, even though I was still brain damaged, it as are you. I love Jesus with all of my heart, and I'm still benefiting from that. My wife is here. My kids are here. My wife loves Jesus. You love Jesus with all of your heart, and it will go well with you the rest of your life if you do, I promise. That has nothing to do with my sermon. Just good to see you guys. Hey, turn your Bible to 1 John. I'm going to do my best today to do what Brandon asked me to do. And that's kind of follow up on his sermon last week. Last week, Brandon did a really good job talking about gospel community. And he really did a good job of telling kind of why it's important and why we do it and what it is. If you didn't listen to it, podcast it, get on the website and download the sermon. It's excellent. So I'm not going to really try to repeat what he did. But he asked me today to kind of get up here and kind of put some legs to what gospel community looks like when you do it. The last 5 years of my life have been unique in the sense that for the first time in my life, really, because of God's goodness to us, my wife and I have had gospel community. As you saw from the video, it started in a living room with three other guys, me and three other guys, that could not have been more different, to be totally honest. All four of us had different backgrounds. We had different hobbies. We had different likes. We grew up differently. We acted differently. Our worldviews were different, even politically. And the thing that brought us together was Jesus. And that developed because we went on mission together, which I'll talk a little bit more. We developed this gospel community where we genuinely, for the first time in our life, we shared our life with other folks. And the eight of us, I mean, we would vacation together, and it was incredible. It changed my life. And so there's this picture. The only people that weren't married at the time were Ryan and Jordan, and there's this picture of their wedding where it's Ryan and Jordan, and everyone else in the picture except for two or three is our little group. And at the time, it was before we started the church. And that picture, when I see it at Ryan's house, it stirs my affections for Jesus because it was the happiest wedding I've ever been to. It was just cool how we shared life together. So community is my thing, man. I honestly think that without community, without gospel community in a church, you've just come to an okay concert, to be honest. I mean, we didn't even have drums and no smoke and lights. What kind of concert is that, right? And you can podcast sermons a lot better than what you're about to get. Seriously. Podcast with Matt Chandler and Matt Carter, way better than me. Even podcast Brandon from last week and skip this week and listen to that instead of me. That's better. Seriously. Without gospel community, we're not living Acts. New Testament is built. The whole New Testament is really about these people that love Jesus together and share meals, and the gospel explodes and churches grow from this community. Without community, it's a good concert. It makes no sense, and we're fully anticipating on you leaving when the next best show comes in town. Because why wouldn't you? If you're coming for the quality of music and the quality of sermons, why wouldn't you leave? You're dumb to stay at a place that's mediocre. Unless the people beside you and across the row from you, you're sharing your life with, like Brandon talked about last week, and you're sharing your needs with, and you need them, and you're relying on them, and you see Jesus, you're seeing Jesus clearer through their eyes. Unless you're sharing your life with the people around you, why wouldn't you go to the best show? I'm seriously asking. Without community, it's not living Acts, it's living. I mean, if you go to a church without community, you're not living the New Testament, you're living the 21st century church growth church, right? Community is why we do this thing. It is church. Without gospel community, it's not church. It's not. It's a Billy Graham crusade. It's the same thing. Community is my thing, man. I think without it, church makes no sense at all. With that, like the video showed, we started this Bible study, like I said, four different guys. And these four guys and their families became very close. And there's this quote by C.S. Lewis that I think is brilliant. So I'll read it slow, because if you're like me, you have to read C.S. Lewis twice before you actually understand it. Here's what it says. It says, "Friendship is a unique kind of love, distinct from romantic and other kind of love. We picture lovers face to face, but friends side by side. Their eyes look ahead. That is why those pathetic people who simply want friends can never make any. The very condition of having friends is that we should want something else besides friends. Friendship must be about something," he said. "It must be about a common interest. Even if it was only an enthusiasm for dominoes or white mice, those who have nothing can share nothing. Those who are going nowhere can have no fellow travelers. But the common quest or vision which unites friends does not absorb them in such a way that they remain ignorant or oblivious of one another. On the contrary, it is the very medium in which mutual love and knowledge exist. One knows nobody so well as one's partner or fellow." If at the outset we had attended more to the friend and less to the thing which our friendship is about, we should not have come to know or love him so well. You will not find the warrior, the poet, the philosopher, the Christian by staring in his eyes as if he were your mistress. Better, fight beside him, read with him, argue with him, pray with him. And there you will find friendship. The funny thing about gospel community, to me, is that gospel community is not the goal. Like, my whole intention this morning is to get you, to convince you and show you how to get plugged into gospel community. But the point is not gospel community. The point is Jesus. It is. The whole point, if you've been saved, the whole point of your life is Jesus, to make him known and to know his love. So our thesis is this, that you will never know Jesus to the fullest. You never will know Jesus to the fullest without gospel community. You can move to an island, you could read all the books that have ever been written, you could read the Bible for 12 hours a day, and you could pray for the next state. And at the end of the day, without gospel community, you will still be watching black and white. You will. Gospel community is what brings color to the picture. Gospel community is what reveals Jesus to you and to the world. And without it, you won't know him to the point you will know him with it. And so today, our goal is not gospel community. Our goal is to know Jesus. But we feel that to know Jesus, you have to have gospel community. So we're encouraging you to be part of gospel community so you can know Jesus. That's the backwards part. And that's why in our little Bible study, four guys who were so different, who would have not been friends otherwise, became best friends because we were on mission together. And like Brandon said last week so well, that mission and community cannot be separated. That they build on one another like an upward spiral. That you go on mission with people and suddenly you find yourself friends with those people and the friendships blossom. And friendships actually stir your affections for Jesus and put you on mission. Which when you go on mission, the mission actually creates deeper and better friendships. Which deeper and better friendships build community, which builds mission, which builds community. And we affectionately call that an upward spiral. So, the funny part is the goal of gospel community is to know Jesus. It is not to have friends. So if today you leave and think, I need friends. No, you need Jesus. And to make friends, you need to go on mission. And there you will find friends. I think I've failed in the past when I've talked about gospel community, trying to convince people that they need more friends. And that's problematic for me. My wife keeps telling me I'm becoming a grumpy old man. Because the older I get and the busier I get, the less I want to talk to people, to be honest. I'm going to be totally transparent with you today because I'm not your pastor. If you don't like me, I don't care. The older I get and the grumpier I get and the busier I get, I have two kids and a hot wife, which is awesome. At the end of the day, when I come home, I want to talk to my wife and I want to talk to my kids and I don't want to talk to you, if I'm being totally honest. I'm tired. I have spent my 5,000 words from the day. So if I'm trying to convince you, you need more friends, that would be like telling me, you need more friends. To which my response would be, no, I'm good. I'm going to watch TV tonight. If I'm trying to convince you that you need to go to home group to make more friends, no, I've got plenty of friends. I don't need to go to home group to make friends. But the point, do you see the difference? The point is, you don't go to home group to make more friends. You go to home group to know Jesus. And on mission, trying to get to know Jesus, you make friends, right? And your friends reveal Jesus. And Jesus helps you develop deeper friendships. It's kind of backwards and upside down, but it's true. C.S. Lewis is right. You don't make friends by wanting friends. You make friends by going on mission with folks. So here's the scripture. You turn in 1 John. I think Brandon did a good job last week with this scripture, and I think he helped me see it in a little bit different. So 1 John chapter 1, and we'll just read verse 5 through 7. He said, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. I love how John, towards the end of his life writes, and he writes from a first-person perspective of, listen, I've touched him, I've listened to him, I've seen him, this is what I've seen, and this is what I've heard. It has nothing to do with community other than it's just so much credibility to this passage. Listen, this is the message we've heard from him, and this is what we declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Brandon did a good job last week talking about how Jesus was transparent. What you saw is what you got. There was nothing hidden. There was nothing done in darkness. If we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. I've never thought about that. And I have quoted that 1,000 times to people who are struggling with sin. I've never thought in that in the context of community. That part of walking with Jesus is you begin to walk in the light. And walk in the light, you begin to be transparent. Does that make sense? You stop hiding. The number one factor that someone's in sin is when they start being secretive, when they withdraw. Jesus, John says, listen, this is what we heard from Jesus. That when he's working in your life, you start living in the light, which means you allow people to see you, which you allow people to be close to you, which you're not withdrawing into darkness, you're walking out into the light. I've never thought about that in the context of community, but it's true. He's saying if you walk in the light, you will have fellowship with one another. How could you not? Right? How could you not? But if you're still in sin, you're walking in darkness and you're withdrawing, which leads to aloneness. So he's saying that walking in the light with Jesus is stepping out, removing the facade, and letting people see you for who you are and having fellowship with one another. And in that, there's forgiveness of sins, right? Of course there is. Of course there is, because the light either makes you get rid of your sin or go back to the darkness. So I'm going to just try to answer a couple of questions today. What intentional gospel community does and how it happens. I'm going to go real quickly through what it does. The first thing I think it does is, like I've talked about a little bit, I think it reveals Jesus to us personally. Do you remember, that crazy story in Revelation chapter 4 when John sees the throne of God and he tells this crazy story about these four living creatures? And one has, they have four different faces, one the face of a man and a lion. Weird. But the weirdest part about it is he says that they're covered from head to toe with eyes and they have wings. And so the idea is that there is this living creature that from head to toe is covered with eyes. You know what that means? It means that the creature has no blind spots, that he sees everything around him perfectly. There's nothing he can't see. If I said, my wife, like my son someday, who's kind of creative, he might say, Dad, it's like you have eyes everywhere. You see everything I do, right? That would mean, Dad, you see it. These creatures are covered with eyes. They have no blind spots. And the idea, the picture it paints is there's four of them that with wings, and they're flying around the throne. And do you remember what they're saying? They're saying, holy. The picture John is painting is that there's like a creature, like if this is the throne, on this side of the throne, and he's got no blind spots, and he sees perfectly, and it's like he's looking at Jesus, or God who's sitting on the throne, and he's saying, I see him from this side, and I see him perfectly, and he's holy. And it's like the other creature on the other side is like, I see him from the other side, and I'm looking at him from a different angle, and I see holy too. And it's like they're screaming at each other. Everywhere we look, at every different perspective, all we see is holy. Do you see what I'm saying? This is what community does. This is what community does. Because I'm looking at the throne from this side. And I'm looking through the lens of the way I grew up, and the way I was taught, and the way I understand, and the way I read things. And I'm looking at him, and I'm saying he's holy or he's beautiful. And I'm seeing him from a very tunnel vision point of view. And to think you don't need community is pure arrogance. To think that you can know Jesus fully through your tunnel vision. To the idea that you could live on an island and know him better than you could with a group of people. I mean, and I don't know a different way to say it, it's arrogance. because you're looking at him from this way and you're saying, I see him when I read these passages of scriptures, when I look at him, I see him this way. But the part about community that's so cool is your friend over here looks at and he says, I read the same scripture and here's what I got out of it. And the most common thing you hear when you have gospel community is, I've never thought about him that way. That is amazing. Jesus becomes more colorful. He becomes bigger. To think that you can know him fully and as multifaceted as Jesus is, to think that you could grasp all of his aspect, all of his, can't think of the right word, think that you could grasp all of him through your view is craziness. You need others, to see him fully, because they'll see him differently and he will become more beautiful to you if you let other people. So that's what's so cool about gospel community is because they see it through their lens and they say, I see him this way. And you say, I've never seen him that way. He's more beautiful to me now because you talked about that. The other thing gospel community does that does so well and it stinks so bad is it sanctifies. Who's married? You don't have to say this out loud, but do you remember like after 3 months of marriage, we all had the same thought? Holy cow, I'm the most selfish person I've ever met. Do you remember? I don't even know if this guy's married, but I went to Bible, man, I love Jesus with all of my heart. And when I got married, if you would have asked me at 22, Mark, are you a selfish guy? I would have said, I'm probably the most unselfish guy I've ever met. If you would have asked me 3 months into marriage, I would have said, I'm the most selfish dude on the face of the earth. Because living with someone else, two fallen people living together, it reveals, like Brandon talked about last week, it reveals sins you didn't even know you had. Like, I didn't even know this was a problem. But it is a big problem, right? It is what community does, right? When you step into the light, right? And you have fellowship with someone else, like he says. And it's courageous. It takes courage. And you actually let people see you. It's going to reveal stuff to you you didn't even know you had that you need to get rid of. And it stinks. And to be honest, this is where most folks jump ship, if we're being totally honest. This is where most people say, gospel community is not for me. I'll take the gospel community. I can keep people at arm's length. To be accountable to times and to places and weekly things, to be accountable to your life group, to our small groups here at LAC, a weekly time slot that you have to be at, come on. I don't like to be held down. I like to keep my options open. I'm as shady as they come. Gospel community sanctifies me. It does. It sanctifies me because it makes me deal with the things I'm not good at. Just like my marriage sanctifies me. And then once I had kids, I had the revelation again. I'm the most selfish person I know. My kids sanctify me. Gospel community will sanctify if you're brave enough to let it. And if you love Jesus enough that you're willing to go through it. It will produce beautiful fruit in you. And then, so it reveals Jesus to you personally, it sanctifies you, and it reveals Jesus to the world. I think Brandon did a great job last week, again, of talking about that after the resurrection of Christ, the church exploded because people kept saying, I don't understand why these people love each other the way they do. I don't get it. And the church exploded. I may get emotional. I keep a picture in my Bible. Ryan had a friend that he worked with that... He was their accountant, and he had a wife, and he had a son who was disabled. And the man had a heart, and he loved Jesus, and the wife loved Jesus. And the husband died of a heart attack. Just one day went for a run and never came back. And he left a wife and a disabled son. And Ryan does a good job of hanging out with the kid. He's severely autistic, and he graduated high school last year. And so his mom decided that for some help, she was going to move from town to out of town and move next to her parents and have some help. and she needs some help moving. So Ryan got our Bible study together, and hey, could you guys help them move? It was so easy. We didn't do anything. It was like six guys with trucks and trailers, one trip. That never happens when you help people move. And one trip, and then after we unloaded all of her stuff, she made us lunch. And the part that moves me is that during lunch, she said, "Can I pray for you?" And this woman, who obviously was going through a lot, this woman bowed her head, and she thanked Jesus for his goodness to her and how much Jesus loved her, that he would give her guys to help her move. Oh. The little thing of Ryan organizing our little gospel community group, little thing of Ryan organizing some guys on a Saturday morning to help this lady move, revealed Jesus to this lady and stirred her affections for him. Gospel community is the most effective way to show the world who Jesus is. By our love for each other, we can be more useful for him together than we can be apart. It's so true. It's so true. So it reveals Jesus to the world. Missional living is the most effective when it's done with others. It reveals Jesus most thoroughly. And then, so here's where I think we'll try to be as most descriptive as possible. I think this is how it happens. I'm sorry, I'm sniffing so much. This stupid microphone's right beside my nose. Here's how we think it happens in three ways. I'm sorry. Anyway. There's three ways, and you can write this down. Here's how it happens. We think it happens when you value relationship with Jesus. Like we said, it is impossible to know Jesus fully unless you value gospel community. So if you value relationship with Jesus, listen, and this is as blunt as I'll be all day, if you value relationship with Jesus, you'll have gospel community. You will. You have to. Here's what wars against me personally. Here's what wars against me having gospel community is morally neutral things. I love to hunt. I mean, if I'm being totally transparent, there is a war every Sunday to get up and go hunting instead of come to church. I love it that much. If it wasn't for Austin making fun of me relentlessly, I might miss church from October to December because I wanted to hunt so bad. If I'm being totally transparent, I love it that much. I love to fish, and I love to play golf. And I love to be lazy, and I love to watch TV, if I'm being completely transparent. None of those things are wrong. Not one are sinful. You know what wars against gospel community is? On Tuesday night when I get home from work and I'm tired and I've had a long day, I want to watch TV and be still and quiet instead of going to our home group where we have gospel community. What wars against, in my opinion, what wars against you the most of having genuine gospel community in your life is that you would rather watch TV or you would rather go do your hobby than actually take time to make time for gospel community. It is easier to watch the football game at home than to make an effort to invite people over and watch it with friends. It is. None of those things are wrong. And that's the thing. That's our scapegoat is, not like it's a sin, Mark. I just like to hunt. If you value a relationship with Jesus, you'll value gospel community, and the things you value, you will give time to. I'm not saying that from a hypocritical place. It is the most convicting thing I say. The things you value, you'll give time to. And so, if you're writing stuff down, write out your week. What'd you give time to? You will. It's intentional gospel community. It doesn't just happen. So I'm not just saying you need to make time to have more friends. If you want to know Jesus more, you'll have gospel community. The second thing I think the gospel community happens is when forgiveness wins. This thing so far in this sermon has been kind of this lofty, oh, gospel community, it's so cool. At times it's not cool at all because we're fallen. It's just like in my marriage, there's fights at times because we're both sinful people, right? At times it's going to be hard. So gospel community only happens when you're realistic enough that you know at times forgiveness will have to win. And I think it has to win in two ways. I think it has to win that I am horrifically embarrassed of my flaws. I am horrifically embarrassed of people finding me out. I am embarrassed of standing in the light. So, we used to say in college that you have to be careful who you let see your gold, because Jesus said don't throw your pearls to pigs, so you don't give all the goodness inside to just some random stranger. But there does come a time where you step out into the light and you have fellowship with others like he talked about, right? And in that moment, you risk someone saying, oh my goodness, and not wanting to be your friend. You do. Gospel community happens when you're willing to be brave enough to risk someone not wanting to be your friend. And to be, I mean, for me, that's a hard risk. I think it's why in Revelation, you keep reading that the cowards went to hell. And for them, it's because they were getting their heads chopped off. Not that you're worried about that. But for us, to know Jesus fully, at times, you have to be brave. You have to be willing for you to step out in the light and for someone not to handle your gold the way you think they should. Okay? So here's the remedy for that. You're forgiven. If you love Jesus, you're forgiven. He has washed your sins away. He's taken your sins and he's washed them away, and you stand like pure white linen. He's accepted you. You're his. The affirmation of somebody else does, at the end of the day, doesn't carry as much weight as Jesus. You are Jesus's. All right? So you be brave, because forgiveness wins when you forgive yourself. And you're okay with someone seeing your flaws, because their acceptance or rejection of you means nothing in the end. Okay? So you forgive yourself. Gospel community happens when you forgive yourself to the place that you can allow other people to see you, and if they go, oh my gosh, right? That, hey man, Jesus has washed me. Okay? Gospel community also happens, and this is bigger, when you actually... I hope this comes across good. Gospel community happens when you actually forgive others and give them the same grace you're hoping for yourself. Don't quickly forget how much Jesus forgave you for. Do you remember how he washed you? Do you remember what he saved you from? Do you remember the jerk you used to be? Do you remember how awful you used to be before he saved you and he sanctified you and cleaned you up? Do you remember that? So if someone else is a jerk, if someone else is awful, and you're having to spend time with them, and you hate them, don't be so quick to forget what he saved you from. The same forgiveness you got, you give. You give it. It will never happen if all you do is see other people's junk. It's so easy. It is so easy for me to just see other people's junk and forget about my own. So you forgive yourself, but at the same time, don't forget what he's forgiving you from, and you give the same grace he gave you. Because if you don't, it will never happen. All you'll do is see people's flaws and, well, I can't hang out with them. Don't want to have gospel community with them. Do you know what they're like? God's sanctifying them, and he might use you to sanctify them. He's definitely going to use them to sanctify you. I think it's why Paul says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. Treating others like you need to be treated means that you handle their gold like you want them to handle yours. If you don't, it's not their approval of you that ultimately matters, now is it? Forgiveness of yourself and forgiveness of others is the only way intentional gospel community happens. And then last, I think gospel community happens when you value a relationship with Jesus, when forgiveness wins. And then last, when you put forth some effort. My wife, I loved her for so long, and she didn't love me back. And finally, when she became available, I tried it. She dated this jerk in college for a long time, and finally when they broke up, I poured it on as thick as possible. And for a long time, and it took me months and months of trying to convince her that she needed to love me. And finally, she kind of gave in, and I married her as soon as possible, so she couldn't back out. And I'm still trying to convince her that she needs to love me forever and ever. I think I'm doing okay at it. But even this last week, I listened to a sermon on Tuesday at our home group, and it was about still putting forth effort in your marriage. I was so convicted, because my marriage still takes effort. I'm still trying to woo my wife and get her to love me. Here's the thing, man. It takes some effort. The easiest out for not having gospel community is, well, nobody asked me. It is. Sometimes you have to ask. Sometimes it's going to take effort. It means that if no one's doing anything, then you plan it. Okay? It means that you take the initiative and you put forth the effort in the same way you would in a dating relationship to instill gospel community. It takes effort. The excuse of, well, nobody invited me, or they didn't talk to me first. It's not an excuse, man. It takes effort. You will stay single the rest of your life if you're waiting for her to talk to you first. Just saying. And in the same way in gospel community, if you're waiting for someone to pull you in the gospel community, you may never have it. You're going to have to put as much effort as you expect someone to put into you, if not more. So, I think some real practical ways to get gospel, so just some real practical ways that I've learned is pray. Ask God for gospel community. Just pray. I think he answers prayers. I think that in you praying for gospel community, he will soften your heart and he will make you more of the kind of person that someone else wants to have gospel community with. So pray. Pray about it. Another thing that's throughout the New Testament and the Old Testament is food. When you eat, invite people to eat with you. It is easy. Go out to eat or make a meal. One of the coolest things I've ever done, I hate cooking. I would order a pizza 10 nights out of the week instead of cook one. I hate it. When I live by myself, I never made one thing in my kitchen, ever. But one thing we did early on is we went to the store together and we all bought food. And then we went back to the house and we all cooked it together. And then we all ate it together. And then we all helped clean up together. It was a blast. Meals. Invite people out to eat. Today, after lunch, invite someone to eat with you. Invite someone to come over and watch the Rangers game. Simple. Just invite someone into your life. Food is a great avenue for that. Another thing, obviously, is go on mission with someone. And go on mission with this church with someone. Get involved in the midweek home groups. It's almost like this is a non-negotiable. If you want gospel community, then you plug into what Living Acts is offering throughout the week. We have a guy's Bible study that we kind of brought in from the colony. We meet on Tuesdays. The girls meet at my house on Tuesday night. There's a Thursday night home group. There's a Sunday night. Plug in somewhere. Make time for it. Get involved. Go on mission with someone. Like I said, friendship happens when you go on mission with someone. Make effort. Like, one of the most practical ways, and I'll close with this, one of the most practical ways is stay after and help set up chairs. Pick up chairs. And think about it less like I'm helping to pick up chairs, but make an effort to those that are picking up chairs around you to ask their name and get to know them. It's funny, you make friends with people you pick up chairs with, or you go on mission trips with, or you go to church with, or you do things with. You generally make friends less with the people that, hey, I really want to be friends with that guy. All right, what do I do now? Go on mission, get involved, pray about it. Because in gospel community, you will know, at the end of the day, you will know Jesus more, and he will be more glorified in your life. Let's pray.